So grateful for the book study group of ours. A couple of months ago, they contacted me, Miriam, and said, "Do you have any suggestions for a good Advent book study?" And I was like, "Yes, great." And I'm sure I gave her and the group more than they bargained for. Not only did I give them a title, but it's some deep reading, and I said it's got a study materials with it, and so not only did they get a book recommendation, but they got two learning sessions gathered together as a group with me teaching them, be careful what you ask for. But it was fantastic. The book we dove into was Light of the World, A Beginner's Guide to Advent by Amy Jill Levine. We opened ourselves to the Christmas stories found in Matthew and Luke's Gospels. We found ourselves eyes open to a fresh new understanding and an outlook. The very final question we explored together in our time of study was, if the Hallmark Company were to ask us to consult on a project to create a brand new nativity collection, what do we think, having read the stories in Luke and Matthew in new ways and new interpretations from us, what do we need to make sure is in that new nativity for 2022? I was so touched by the answers because they were exciting and they were life-giving. And basically what our group was saying, more. We need more. There is so much more to the story that we just don't see in those heartwarming creches that have donned our living spaces for years. Maybe a new idea would be to separate the nativity scene as told by Matthew and Luke. For example, scripturally, the shepherds and the magi are never in the same story. I got an amen from a former regional minister. Let's say amen and go to lunch. Let's do this. They're not in the same story, so why not have the angels with the shepherds? Maybe we see them in a separate scene arriving at the manger, and the magi and their caravan could wander under the light of a greater star or check in with Herod, or in another scene arrive at the home where the Holy Family is staying in Bethlehem to pay homage to the toddler Jesus. In the Gospels, never do these groups of evangelists cross paths. Yes, we need more figures. Maybe a set dedicated to creating story of what Joseph may have taught and passed along to Jesus. We don't know what happened or where all of the influence was. Surely there's an artist who could help us wonder and explore and maybe fill in blanks along the way. We also know that, I'm going to go ahead and move this, Glenn. Can I move this? All right. As we looked around the room and we were thinking about our stories, we realized we probably could use more figures honoring the seasoned citizens that not only captivate us, but fill Mary with promise of who her child is to become. Older adults have impact. Zechariah and Elizabeth. And then at the very end of our story, we don't always hear it in our liturgical calendar, but when Mary and Joseph take Jesus to be dedicated in the temple 40 days after his birth, there's the prophets Anna and Simeon. Old wisdom, giving Mary a new sense of understanding of her call and purpose, of her child's call and purpose. The most poignant answer given by our group, if art is to imitate life, is that modern nativities today need women. Women in the story. More women. Women shepherds. Women magi. Women tending to mother and child, proclaiming the good news, moving the narrative forward. It happened then. It happens still. Women, the voice of our story. Have we not received that in our Advent reading so far? Voices of wisdom coming from the women leading us on our Advent journey to Bethlehem. It isn't by happenstance that Zechariah and Joseph, the male partners in these stories, are silent. We need to keep giving voice of our sacred women and keeping it alive. So that brings us to Elizabeth and Mary, the matriarchs of our Christmas story, who bear the message worth hearing, and that is our focused scripture for this morning. There's no better passage to articulate our Advent theme from generation to generation than Elizabeth. The old wise Elizabeth, the young eminent Mary, both of whom miraculously pregnant with sons who will change the course of faith and the way humanity shall treat each other and perceive and understand God the Alpha and the Omega. The compassion, the affirmation, and encouragement present here is inspirational. We are called into relationship as God's beloved, and not only that, we get the opportunity to offer blessing to people's lives. What we do with this gift is up to us. And Elizabeth and Mary set the perfect example. They don't just respond to God's calling, they make it their own, and they act with acceptance. And they act with purpose. So we read now Luke 1, 39 to 45, and 56 and 57. The middle sections of 46 to 55, known as the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, we've already shared in our call to worship and in our opening hymn this morning. So let us turn now to this divine encounter between these two remarkable ancestors of our faith. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. We are called to be a blessing to each other. Elizabeth demonstrates this as she blesses Mary. This is the only thing we have to go on to describe how Elizabeth feels about carrying the child who is to be a special messenger of God. This is the first time we hear her voice as she's pregnant with John the Baptist. And what we hear and can understand is that she is all in. This is her calling, and this is her purpose now too. The Message translation gives it to us this way. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she sang out exuberantly, "You're so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believe every word would come true." The only words we hear from Elizabeth and know from her are words of blessing. They were words that Mary needed to hear. Mary needed confirmation that what was happening was of God, that it was good, that the joy she was feeling in her heart and the purpose and wonder she was feeling was valid and it was appropriate. Those brief but expressive words of Elizabeth grant the permission Mary might have sought in order to be the bearer of light God was calling her to be. In a mouthful, Elizabeth greets her with the presence of God, and it happened in the very first minute of their encounter. Right there in the doorway, no small talk, no pleasantries, no "can I help you with your bag?" It's not like Mary texted from the road, "BTW, I'm coming to visit, lots to talk about, see you in an hour." This was unexpected, and yet the Holy Spirit moves in monumental ways, and blessing is shared. John leaps in his mama's tummy and delivers a message. This is them. We are in the presence of the Holy. We are in this together now. And Elizabeth's first reaction is sheer joy, not surprise, not fake enthusiasm for having drop-in visitors. Elizabeth blesses Mary. And in reply, Mary sings her song of blessing and claims her purpose there in a doorway. This is a literal threshold moment. In our Advent devotional reflection, Dr. Christine J. Hong speaks of threshold moments. Dr. Hong's parents are Korean immigrants, and her mother used to say that back in the days of their immigration, whoever met you at the airport decided your destiny. That first encounter determines the direction your life moves. From the person meeting you at the airport, picking you up, wherever you go next, you are in their hands. Dr. Hong remembers her mother's words and reflects on them when reaching significant impasses in her own life, whether a new job or moving or having a child. Each significant milestone in life feels like a threshold moment. And each time, she looks for people and communities waiting on the other side to anchor and hold her in the nebulous spaces of change, uncertainty, and fear. Beautifully written. We're reminded that Elizabeth is on the other side of the threshold for Mary and greets her with blessing. This is it. This is our calling and our purpose, to greet others journeying across life's threshold moments and to offer blessing. From generation to generation, we encourage and inspire others to be the blessing God calls us to be. From my interviews with the search team, this is a desire of Sun City Christian Church. To be a blessing to others, to offer wisdom, to speak from experience, to show up and be present, to allow the Holy Spirit to offer love in whatever form is needed. This was the desire I heard from those who you had prayerfully deciding our course. Our congregation is ready to go deeper. To offer more in terms of God's radical welcome of love to others. And this is why I said yes. Yes to walking with you, for we desire to join together in being filled with passion and with purpose. Together we will stand in the midst of a changing world and extend the blessing of Jesus to all we meet. We will be a church offering blessing in threshold moments. We will be like Elizabeth. We will continue to do things that fill us with life, and we will start new ministries and try out different ideas that extend blessing to others in need. Some will work right away, and some will fall flat, and we'll have to try again. We ask what's next for us, and we encounter God's messengers leading us into deeper action. We will find common purpose, and together make the most of our time and energy. We will share the Christmas story of love in all that we say and in all that we do. Sun City Christian Church, we will become a living nativity. Today, the nativity needs more of us. More Sun City Christian Church. More faithful pilgrims willing to offer blessing and grace without judgment and usher one another closer to the presence of the holy. Hey, Hallmark, the story needs us. Will you pray with me? The face of the Christ child needs to be reflected through us, your faithful servants, O God. So I give you thanks for the women, for the men, for the servants you put in our midst to go forth and to lead with awe and wonder, to welcome with openness and joy, to remind one another that you are present, that the purpose you have in our individual lives and our corporate being is of promise, is of hope, is of grace. God, the story of our Christ continues, and it needs more us. Give us the courage to live with passion, to love with abandon. In Christ we pray. Amen.